Okay, everyone, so before we get on with the episode, I would like to give you a little heads up that this episode is a tad bit emotional, so I would suggest you grab a box of tissues and a bottle of water just in case, and please be kind and ignore the fact that you might hear me yawning in the episode, because whenever I get emotional, I tend to get a little sleepy, so please ignore that, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Let's get it! So, you know how people are often scared of things? Like, people have a fear of certain things. It could be anything. It could be clowns, heights, small spaces, spiders, blood, darkness, long words. And like being alone and many other things that people have a phobia of or fear. Now, these fears could be due to anything. Could be because of some trauma caused in their childhood or some event or incident that triggers something in their head or in them so much to the point where they start to develop a fear of it and they start fearing it insanely. But now what about the fears that you have but you don't know about them until you have to like actually face them? Like, what if you always feared losing something that was of so much value to you that you didn't realize until you actually lost it? Could be a person you loved, could be an item, could be a piece of jewelry, or it could be a memory of someone to hold on to. For me, it was my dad. He meant a lot to me. He always did. I didn't realize it until he left. July 21st, 2019 was when he left. Left me. Left this world. Left his belongings. Left everything in this world to go to a place way better than this cruel and ugly world. And to be honest, this world wasn't meant for him either. This wasn't the place for him. He always belonged to a place where he was safe and at peace. Somewhere he was happy and somewhere beautiful. Now, the beginning of the future that I had planned for myself began with my parents and me in it, and it ended with us as well. Now, that all changed when he passed away. That was the moment and day that I realized nothing actually lasts forever. Whereas in my daydreams and future plannings, he was always there. Keyword, always. But nothing lasts forever. Always doesn't last forever. Always doesn't always come true. And I remember that the moment I found out, I felt dead. I truly felt lifeless. I felt empty, just hollow. I felt nothing. I went numb. My whole body went numb. All I could see was the darkness slowly covering my eyes, trying to somehow make me feel better. I have never screamed and cried at the same time ever in my life. Heck, I've never even cried like that in my whole life. And my mind as well had just gone blank. And I just couldn't respect the fact that people actually pass away and leave this world to go into a better one. And I remember in my head, I started cursing everyone out. Every single person, all the people that had ever hurt him or wronged him in any way. I literally felt like I wanted to just lay there on the floor forever and bawl my eyes out for as long as I can and not do a single thing and not move a single inch. I truly felt dead. And when we had to go and see him at the hospital, I couldn't bring myself to see him lying there on the bed, lifeless, but still somehow looking alive. I lingered outside the room for a while, but that was until my brother came up to me and told me that I wouldn't be able to see him again, that this would be the last time that I would ever see him for the rest of my life. I kept pushing him away, telling him to please not force me, but when I heard him say that this would be the last time I would ever look at him, because then they'd have to take him away to bathe his body, something inside me convinced me to just have a look at him one last time. When I finally entered the room, all I could think of was, he's just sleeping. What dipshit thought he passed away? I had a lot of mixed feelings at that moment. I felt anger. I felt betrayal. I felt anxious. I felt grief. As I approached his bed, that's when darkness fully embraced me. I felt like I was about to pass out. I stumbled a bit, but my brother kept holding me up, telling me to try and be conscious and take in all of his features and a last look at him. And then I somehow finally built up the courage to open my eyes and become more aware of my surroundings. I remember thinking, he's just sleeping. Maybe he's trying to joke around with us, but knowing my dad, he would never joke about such things. And I thought if I kept caressing his hand and his forearm, he'll wake up like he used to. I kept doing it, waiting and waiting for him to feel my touch and open his eyes and ask me what time it was so he could go to the mosque and pray. But he never did. And that's when I lost it again. I started crying. I built up courage and went a bit further and tried to caress his face. And when I went to touch his face, he looked like he was sleeping. And I so badly wanted him to wake up and hug me and tell me that he would never leave me again. He didn't. He never did. And I hated it. I hated it so, so much. I hated the fact that he wouldn't wake up again and tell me that this was just a dream. It was just an illusion, and it's just a thought in my head, and that this would never happen. I'm so sorry. It's still a very sensitive topic for me to talk about, so I'm really sorry. I have to get through this, though. Now, my dad would always pick me up and drop me to school, and he was basically the reason I was able to get to school. When we got back from the hospital, I asked my mother, "What about school?" And what she said at that moment was enough to make me realize that this was practically the end for me. She said, "Forget about school. He's not here anymore." And I was upset. But I was upset in a stressful way because I thought, okay, my father had this dream of seeing me be somewhere, and I can't do that if I'm not educated enough. I can't do that if I don't study hard, if I don't go to school. How will I do that? He's not here anymore. Now, let's go back to a week before he actually passed. I have always had this fear of going into hospitals to see someone that I love or I know lying there on the bed with hundreds of tubes attached to them, and it scares me for some reason, and it makes me emotional. So my brother was getting ready to go and get my dad and bring him home, and my mother called me into the kitchen and said, "Why don't you go and bring him home?" And I said, "Mom, you know I can't." Like, I start to cry, and he won't like that, and my brother will also get mad that I shouldn't be crying in front of Dad, because it's not healthy for him. It's very bad for his mental health. And she said, "Don't care about your brother. Think of your dad. Wouldn't he feel like the happiest man on earth when he sees that his most favorite and beloved daughter came to get him?" And when I heard her say that, I said yes without hesitation. So when I got there, he was so happy. He was literally so happy. He had the biggest smile on his face, and he actually, like, literally welcomed me with his arms wide open. He actually did. So after our little embracing session, I sat down on the chair next to his bed, but the chair was placed at a tilted angle so he could directly see my face, and very clearly too. And me being me, I was trying really hard not to cry. But then all of a sudden he asked, said, "What's wrong?" I just shook my head and said nothing. And he said, "Why do you have such dark circles?" And I said, "Why, I stayed up all night. I was praying for you." And he said, "Oh, really? What did you say for me in your prayer?" And I said, "Just that you get better quickly, because I want you to be the one to always take care of me and my needs, and I always want to be your responsibility. Now, the thing about my dad was that he would get really motivated to become better and take good care of his health when we motivated him this way, when we talked to him this way. And for me personally, at that point, I was actually very scared. So I just told him whatever I felt. And he laughed and said, "Well, of course I'll always take care of you. I won't ever stop taking care of you until you get married and you're happy again." And I nodded silently and just started crying very, very quietly and silently. He called me onto his bed, and I just laid there hugging him and crying softly, thinking what I'd do if he wasn't the amazing father that he is. Now, I haven't told anybody this, but there at the hospital, I had this brief conversation with a nurse where I told her that I hope the doctors and the nurses took good care of him, because I don't want to lose him. And also because I wouldn't know what I'd do if I lost him. Little did I know. When we got back from the hospital, slowly everything went back to normal for me. And I had just started getting into playing PUBG on laptop. I was playing it on my laptop. And I wanted a gaming headset. And my father owned a shop where he fixed computers, among many other things. And he sold computer spare parts and stuff for like phones and chargers and batteries and stuff like that. He was an engineer, the best one in the city, because people somehow often knew him because of that. And when no engineer could fix something, those things would often come to him and he would be able to fix them. So, even though he was sick, he went to the shop with my brother, telling everyone that he has some stuff that he has to take care of and whatnot, and something like that. But my brother says that when we entered the shop, he said, "Look around for the best gaming headset and pack it up so I can take it back for her." And to be very honest, he bought back the prettiest and the best gaming headset I had ever seen in my life. Now, usually if he saw me using the laptop for 3 hours every day, he would tell me to get up and come sit with everyone or like spend time with him. But that week, he didn't. Not even once. He walked by the room many times. We made eye contact countless times, and each time that he walked by the room. And every time we made eye contact, I kept expecting him to come in and tell me that it was enough and that my time for using the laptop was over. But he didn't. Then soon, the week came to an end. It was Friday night. I just got out of a shower and I served him dinner for the first time. And all of a sudden he said, "Hey, your hair are so pretty. This is the first time I'm noticing them so closely. They're so long and beautiful. Please take care of them. Don't ever cut them. Like, I love your hair, and like, you have the most beautiful hair in the whole family." And me being shy, I just smiled at him and said, "Thank you, Bubba." And just ran back inside happily. Only I didn't know that that was the last night I would spend with him. And that he would pass away the next morning. It was really so sudden. But weirdly enough, whenever he got sick, my sisters would always wake me up and tell me to pray for Dad because he wasn't feeling well, and that, he's feeling really unwell, and that, like, we should pray for him, and I would. But I always had this feeling that he's gonna be okay and he'll be fine. And he would be. But this time, when he got sick, I did not have a good feeling. But I didn't tell anyone, obviously, because it's rude and it's a bad thing to say when someone who's a bit old is very unwell, and you can't say that oh, I don't have a good feeling about them making it this time. And also, this time when he was suddenly rushed to the hospital midnight, no one really woke me up to pray for him. Also, from what I've heard of his state before getting rushed to the hospital, his breathing was very rapid and unsteady. Like, it kept breaking, I think. Now, scientifically, when a person is hours away from death, you will notice changes in their breathing. The rate of their breathing changes from a normal rate and rhythm to a new pattern of several rapid breaths, followed by a period of no breathing, which is also called apnea. This is known as the Chain-Stokes breathing, scientifically. But you know, I shouldn't be sad over it, because he's where he always wanted to be. He's buried where he always wanted to be. It was his lifelong wish to be buried in the Baqi Cemetery. It's Baqi Cemetery, for those of you who want to look it up. In Arabic, we often call it Jannatul Baqi. It's the oldest and the first Islamic cemetery of Medina. And many of the Prophet's people, including his family and friends, are buried there. It's a very holy cemetery, you could say. It's really known in a way. It's like kind of famous in our religion for this particular reason, because there is a saying on this cemetery, on the people that are buried in the cemetery. All of the wives of the Prophet, except for Khadija bint Khuwaylid and Maymuna bint al-Harith, who are buried in Jannat al-Mu'alla in Mecca, and also his daughter is buried in al-Baqi. So he always had a dream of being buried there, and I remember my mother told us that when they had gotten married, my father took her to the Masjid al-Haram, which is close to the Baqi Cemetery, and he said, "Do you see that place?" And my mom said, "Yes." "What is it?" And he said, I want to go there. That's where I want to go when I die." And to find out that this was his lifelong wish, finally, it came true. It was a moment of happiness and grief at the same time for me, because I was happy that my dad's wish came true. I was sad because I lost someone that I really cherished. The thing is, I just never thought that he would leave one day, which is why I never took this seriously. I never really paid attention to what was going on, and he was my best friend. And girls here are often scared of their fathers because, like, they like to protect them, and, you know, fathers are like the males of the house. They're like the, you know, kind of like the captain of the ship. So they're often like, oh, we have to be like shy and like all that. My dad, I was so free and open with him. I would talk about boys with him. I would talk about singing. I would talk about dancing. Even though I knew that it was kind of like inappropriate to talk to him about this, I still did. But he never showed any sort of like any sign that he was upset because of it. I remember telling him, oh, when I get married, I want to do this, I want to go here, I want to wear such a dress and this color and this hall and whatnot. And he would never say no. But it's not possible anymore. So, but again, the only reason that I have been able to get better was with the help of my family. My sisters helped me a lot. So did my friends. I have a childhood best friend. Her name is Khulud. And my father went to Pakistan in 2018. And I was afraid because I didn't want him to go alone. And he was going there after 19 years. So I was a bit scared. I was like, how are you gonna live there? What are you gonna do? So I cried. I wasn't willing to let him go. And when he went there, he said that I'll be back in a week. But a week turned into a month. A month turned into two, into three, into four. And I remember every time he would promise me that he'll come back next week, he'd extend his stay because of his issues that he was having there and because of his personal matters. And I remember arguing with him and telling him how upset I am that he's not coming back, and I would cry every time. And I think that that was the first time that I actually experienced depression, and I experienced kind of like loneliness because I just didn't expect him to stay away from me for that long, and I couldn't resist him staying away from me for that long. When my friend found out that my dad had passed away, she tried to make me feel better, and I was reminded of the time where when he went to Pakistan in 2018. And when I was having a rough time, she was always there for me. She would always make me feel better. She would make me smile. And she always tried to cheer me up. Now, along with my friends, my family also helped me through this. And my sisters especially, they made me realize how much of a bigger loss it was for my mother. She had lost her life partner. They made me realize that I had to be better. I had to become a better person for her so that she could come out of the hole that we all fell into, and so that she wouldn't drown deeper into the ocean of grief. And thankfully, alhamdulillah, we're all a bit better now. But I still somewhere deep down can't get over the fact that he's gone. I still wake up every day with the hopeful thought of seeing him. But I should get better with time. Like they say, time heals everything. Now, the sufferings and pain my father endured just so that I could have a safer, better, and brighter future will never ever amount to anything in this world. He was and he always will be my most favorite person for everything. To share little secrets, my dreams, to let out my feelings and emotions, to share my opinions. No matter what I do, it won't ever be enough to show how thankful I am to him for giving me wings and teaching me how to fly. My darling dad. I loved him then, and I love him now. Just a little more than I ever did. I like to say this, if my mom gave me my drive, my dad gave me my dreams. He always taught me to dream big and think openly, and to believe in myself after God, and to always chase and go after whatever made me happy. And because of him, I was able to see and dream of a bigger, better, and brighter future for myself. One day and episode could never be enough to show my gratitude towards him. If I could, and if it could be like this, and if he was here, I would never stay away from him, even for a single second. I would hug him so much to the point where he might get annoyed and have to push me off. But I wouldn't let him go. Ever. If I could, I would never let him slip away. He gave me so much. He gave me a life, he gave me confidence, he gave me courage, he gave me so much of him. I just wish that I was able to give him something back. I was his queen, and he used to say, "Y'all can do whatever you want, but no one dare hurt my precious darling queen." So you can kind of tell my reputation in the house. He never got mad at me, ever. He never yelled at me, never spoke, referred, or talked to me in a loud voice, like with anger or with even a tiny bit of upset in his voice, never. He was the perfect father to me and to all my siblings. He was an ideal father. He fulfilled all my dreams growing up. And I think if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be sitting here having the courage to speak so well. He always taught us sisters to be independent and to fight for ourselves and our rights. Now, until he had passed away, I was completely dependent on him, and it was after he passed away that I realized I have to do something for myself. I can't depend on people my whole life, because not everybody is as good as the people you spend most of your life with. He made me strong. He made us strong. He made my mom, my sisters, all of us strong. He is the reason we're also strong, bold, fearless, and independent. He taught me a lot. He's really taught me a lot. He was my best friend. He was the best father, the best son, the best brother, the best mentor, the best husband, and the best man I've ever seen and met in my life. Thank you for being my mentor and teaching me things no one else could. And thank you for always being there for me and listening to me when no one would. Thank you for being the best father anyone could ever have. And I'll always remember you, Baba.